Hi, this is David Yak, and welcome to the screencast on how to build a Microsoft Dynamics CRM 2011 virtual machine. In this screencast, what I want to do is walk you through the process of setting up a new Hyper-V installation of Dynamics CRM 2011 so that you can take the beta bits that have just been released and install those in a nice isolated environment that you can use. Of course, alternatives to this are getting a CRM online organization. So the beta is also available online. You can go to www.crm2011beta.com and sign up to get an online org provision where you don't need to do any setup of any software, you don't need any hardware, any of that. So in this, though, we're specifically going to look at how to build a virtual machine on it. I'm assuming that you have some basic Windows experience doing that, but I'm going to walk you through the process that I've gone through several times in building one of these in hopes that I'll help you. It's a little bit of a lengthy process, so we'll go through some of that, and you'll notice in here I'm going to time-lapse some of it, so I'm going to cut some of it out of the video. There's no point in you watching a progress bar go across the screen as we install some of this, the different software, do the downloads. In fact, I've already done some of the downloads for you. Along with this video, you'll find posted a set of links that help you get started with what you need to download. In many of those cases, I will point to trial software. If you have MSDN subscriptions, it's also perfectly acceptable to go use the MSDN subscriptions. And in fact, when you do that, you will end up with a virtual machine that won't expire or have the same timeouts. Now, because this is beta software, it's really not as big of a deal that the fact that some of the software, like for example, the Windows 2008 install that I'll use will time out, and I believe it's 160 days. That's not so much of a big issue. Now, I'm going to be installing this today on a Hyper-V machine that I have. So I've already done some configuration of my hosting machine. You know, just for reference purposes, this is just kind of a machine I use around the office for building these types of things when I want to kick the tires on something. It doesn't have a ton of memory. Obviously, you can outfit this with a lot more. I oftentimes use this particular machine as a staging. This one has 4 gigabytes of memory on the host. This is probably the lowest that you want to be playing with anything where you're building a virtual machine on it. It will certainly perform better with more memory. That said, it's perfectly acceptable. I've had really good luck with CRM 2011 on the lower memories compared to some of the other products that require the full-blown 8 gigabytes and things like that that you might see. Now, we're not going to build this in Notepad, so I'm going to go ahead and get this out of here, but I did want to kind of walk through a couple of things, the process we're going to go through. So we're going to go through several installs. So we're going to go through first the Windows install. All of these are pretty straightforward. A lot of times what I recommend is you set this up in the background, you kick it off, and then you go get a cup of coffee, go to the movies, whatever you want to do to, you know, you don't have to sit here and babysit it is my point. So what I'm going to do, I've already downloaded Windows, so we're going to go through the install. I'll show you how to set up the Hyper-V machine on this to start with, and then we'll kind of roll from there. You want to download a bunch of these. So the links I gave you, it's a good thing, just go ahead and start downloading these. So you'll download Windows. I'm using Windows 2008 R2. It's the latest version of Windows. You can also use Windows Server 2008. You do have to have the 64-bit edition, and you need to make sure that your hosting computer is 64-bit. This will not work if your host is 32-bit. Unfortunately, you will just get errors, and you won't be able to even get started with the process. Just a side note, there are some known issues with Windows 2008 R2 with importing in the README. You'll see that. If you're going to be doing a lot of importing with the CRM4 organizations into the one that you're building, you might want to consider read the README and check to see whether it's a good fit for you to use R2. The same type of steps apply whether you're doing R2 or 2008, the regular one. There are a few subtle differences that you might notice as you go through, but the general overall, what you install, the different processes are all very similar. Once we get the server up and running, we'll turn it into a domain controller, because remember what we're trying to do here is build a single box CRM 2011 runtime environment that we can work with. And so once we do that, we'll go ahead and set up as a domain controller, get all the low-level prerequisites on. We'll move along to install SQL Server. I'm going to opt for SQL Server 2008 R2. I'm going to use an evaluation edition for this particular example. We'll also install Office because we want to be able to have the Outlook client on here and have that working. So we'll go ahead and go through that process as well. You'll then move on to us if you want to put SharePoint on there. SharePoint's not a requirement to run CRM 2011, but one of the new features of CRM 2011 is the fact that it does have some deeper integration with SharePoint. So rather than having to do custom stuff to do that integration like you had to in CRM 4 and prior versions, there's some out-of-the-box integration that happens there. You can use 2007 SharePoint, but I'm going to opt for SharePoint 2010 Foundation. That's the free edition that's out there. So in this case, I'm actually not going to be using a trial edition as I go through there. And of course, we're going to go get the Dynamics CRM 2011 bits. So you're going to need to download, at a minimum from here, you'll download the server. And you'll also want to, if you're going to enable the router, or I'm sorry, the client, you'll want to get the client-side software. Now, I typically don't install the 64-bit version of Office. You'll notice that there is now a 64-bit version of the plugin for Office. So if you have Outlook 64 running, you can do that. I typically find that I don't exercise, use 2 billion rows in, whatever the largest number of rows in Excel and things where I had to have the 64-bit Outlook and Office. So I choose to opt down to the 32-bit because it's more compatible with a number of plugins and things like that. You also, if you're going to do the SharePoint piece, you'll want to also download the SharePoint list. Things like the router and the MUI packs for the multi-language, those are all optional. If you want to pull those down, that's perfectly acceptable. And you also have this BIDS extension. So the BIDS extension is used if you want to be able to author reports that are using the new Fetch model. The Fetch model is what allows reports to be able to be developed for both on-premise and online and be deployed to both environments. Whereas in the past, you were using SQL reporting services, writing SQL queries, and those just weren't deployable to the cloud. So the new BIDS extension allows you to write reports that use a Fetch XML. We'll talk about that some other time. We're not going to dive into it, but if you want to be able to do those types of things, you'll want to download the BIDS extension also. Now, because we're building a developer machine, of course, the other key component that we need is Visual Studio. So you'll want Visual Studio 2010. You can opt to go download the eval of that, or again, if you have MSDN, you can certainly pull down the copies that you have from MSDN and be able to use them. So that kind of sets the stage for what we want to be able to do. And then we'll move on to setting up the Hyper-V on this server so that we can set our machine and start the install process. Okay, so let's get started. The first thing I'm going to do is go ahead and I've downloaded the Windows 2008 R2 bits. I have them in a folder. When you download them, they come in a self-extracting archive. So I have them here in this install folder. So you'll notice here that I've got this this full 64 part 1, 2, and 3. So I've actually, that's what you download is the three parts. You run the extract on this, and this is going to extract it into a structure that looks similar to this. So you kind of have the README, they'll have the license agreement. You'll, of course, want to look through, make sure you understand what you can and can't do with it. And then you'll kind of have this structure here that'll have what looks like a virtual machine that you can basically get ready to go ahead and import. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and copy this. And in this case, I've got a little bit of free space right here. I'm going to go ahead and paste this. And we'll just kind of pull that over. And once this finishes copying, what we're going to do is go ahead and import this into Hyper-V. And this will be our base that we'll start with. So what this saves us from is going through that basic OS install that you have to do. So you can just kind of get up and running without a lot of extra work. And we'll go ahead and let this install. And we'll come back in a second here when the copy is finished. Okay, so our copy finished, and we now have the folder that's sitting where we want to be able to use. And what I'm going to do real quick here is just go ahead and rename it to a little more meaningful name. And we'll just call it CRM 2011 Beta VM, so I'll remember what's in there. But what we're going to do now is go ahead and bring this into Hyper-V. So we'll want to grab the folder, and you want to grab it at this level. So you want to basically have to where you're sitting right at where it says Snapshots, Hard Disks, and Virtual Machines. And if you actually look in here, you'll have, this is the actual VHD. So if you're not familiar with the virtualization technology, this is an actual virtual machine hard drive that basically was already prepped for us to be able to do that. So what we're going to do is come over to Server Manager. Server Manager on Windows 2008 R2, you can get to right next to the Start button. Go ahead and launch Server Manager. And we're going to go ahead and expand roles. Now, this is where it gets really important. If you expand roles and you do not see Hyper-V on there, that basically means that you do not have Hyper-V manager or the Hyper-V role installed on there. That's kind of beyond the scope of this screencast, so I'm going to assume that you can go find some information on the web on how to get your host prepared for that, but you'll need to have Hyper-V on here to be able to import this VHD in. The VHD is particularly prepared to run in a Hyper-V installation as opposed to some other vendors' technologies or some of the free products that are out there. When you expand this, you'll notice that you'll see this the machine name that I'm on is DAC Office VM Host. And what I'm going to do in there is go ahead and right-click and do an import virtual machine. I'm going to go ahead and give the folder that we brought the software in. I'm going to go ahead and tell it to say OK to those options. Let me just go back to that real quick in case that was a little bit too quick. So we put in the folder. It basically has a couple options, move or copy. So because we already copied it to a unique location, so we copied it to where we want it to be, I went ahead and chose the move or restore rather than, you know, and keep that existing ID rather than tell it to go create a separate one or even go as far as saying duplicate all the files so that they can be imported in again. You'll notice now that once it's been pulled in here, it now shows up in my list. It has this ugly name, so again, we're going to go do a little bit of renaming here. So I'm going to go change this to something more meaningful. And at this point, we also want to come into settings. So it has some pre-configured settings on it that, while may be ideal for some, if you're just running Windows, we're going to be setting up to have a little bit more stuff installed. So we want to bump this up. I'm going to go ahead and bump this up for now because I'm on a box with lower memory to just 2750. I tend to like to run these, the Serum 2011, around 3500. I know people that like to run them above that. It really depends on how much work you're going to be doing, how you're going to be managing them, and how many users, things like that. I'm going to leave that for a whole other set of discussions. But right now, I'm just assuming you have some minimum set of hardware that you're working with. 2750 is a good place to start. It gets it so it has... you can get up and running. Again, if you have 8 gigs on the machine, by all means, give it some extra memory. It'll certainly run a little bit better. Now, next thing we're going to do is go ahead and start this thing up. So I'm going to go ahead and right-click on. So basically, I clicked on there in the list, and I'm going to go ahead and click Start. And what this is actually doing is it's actually going to boot up this virtual machine, boot the operating system. And if I come right-click again, I can do a Connect. So this will give me almost like a remote desktop connection to this Hyper-V, and we'll see that come up in a second. We'll probably see it go through its booting operation, just as you would normally see a normal Windows server starting up if you were sitting at the console watching it start up from there. I'm going to go ahead and stop for a second and let this finish, get up to the login prompt, and we'll go ahead and pick up from there. Okay, we're back, and what you missed is it just went through a number of the initial warm-up steps. The first time you boot this this test drive VHD, it does a couple of extra updates to get it prepared, and we're now at the basic, how to configure the OS. Very similar, we went through the install process, so we're going to go ahead and choose our country, our time and currency, and things like that. We're just going to go ahead and take the defaults here. We'll go ahead and accept the license agreement. Obviously, you should read this word for word, absorb everything in there. Go ahead and start, and this is going to go through the process to basically finalize the settings. So we'll go ahead and let it do its thing, and we'll come back here shortly after that. Okay, so it looks like it's ready for us. When it starts up, it basically has the password expired, so we're going to go ahead and change it for the first time. So what you're doing, I'm going to call this pass@word1. There's my keyboard having a little bit of fun with us. That would make for an interesting password, a bunch of randomly repeated characters. If only it could do it twice. So there, our password has been changed. And so it's going to go ahead and do the setup of the desktop. It's really no different than the first time you install a server. So what we're going to do next is, now that we have this thing set up, we want to have a little bit different machine name for this. So if I were to come into here and go to Properties, you'll notice that the machine name on this is some weird thing, Win-P7 whatever. one of the first things we want to do, you just don't want something named that. It's just too hard to remember when you start dealing with host settings and stuff like that. And you don't want to change this later on because it gets real ugly when you start renaming servers and things like that. Once you've already installed things like SQL, they get really upset and it becomes a lot more work to rename everywhere that's referencing. So if you didn't catch that, let me just go back here real quick. Basically, I went to start, I went to properties on computer. It brings me to this system page. Down here on the right-hand side, there's a change settings. I come into this system properties dialog, and I go ahead and click change. I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to call this something original like CRM. And I'm going to go ahead and leave it in a workgroup. We're going to come back to this in a little bit, but the first thing we want to do is get this name changed. Anytime you change the computer name, it has to go through and restart. So we're going to go ahead and say OK, close, and it's going to prompt us to reboot. And we're going to go ahead and let it do its reboot thing, and we'll come back after we're at the login prompt. Okay, we're back here at the login prompt. We finished the reboot after the changing the name of the server. What we need to do is be able to log in. This is a good little trick if you haven't done a lot with Hyper-V. If you happen to be in this case where I've got maximized the connect screen, you'll want to go ahead and basically unmaximize that. And what you'll actually do is get access to this little toolbar on here that has several useful things on it. One of them being the one up here in the upper left. It's kind of a triangle of three little boxes. You just click it, and that's going to simulate doing a Control-Alt-Delete for us on the guest operating system. Because if you actually do Control-Alt-Delete on the keyboard, it'll actually do that on the host computer. That won't do you any good. It'll just kind of get in the way, and you'll have to kind of come back from there. So now that we've done that, we can go ahead and maximize that again because we're going to be wanting to work in the localized environment there. Now, at this point, we've already renamed the server. We've done some basic stuff to it. So what we're going to do is go ahead and get ready to make this a domain controller. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and just, we can defer this if we want, but you're going to want to activate this at some point. That starts the trial. If you don't do that, what will happen is it will ultimately start shutting itself down. Anytime you, after this, that you move the virtual machine, you also have to go through the activation. The activation on this base OS is good for 160 days on the test drive VHD, so that should give you enough time to be able to get that going. So what I'm going to do now is go ahead and run through the domain promotion process. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and go to start. Actually, one of the things that we want to do before we get started with the domain, you'll notice down here in the corner that our network icon doesn't have any network connectivity. You need to have the basic networking set up, so we're going to go back to our settings on our virtual machine. So we're going to minimize this. We're going to go back to our Hyper-V manager. We're going to right-click settings on our virtual machine. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually configure so it has a virtualized network connection to our real network. So I'm going to come into network adapter, and we'll actually see that we don't have, we actually have the one configured, so local area network. So that's referencing the card that's in the physical host machine. So we're going to go ahead and select that. You can actually change this while the machine's running, not all the settings. For example, you can't change memory, but you can connect it up to or disconnect it from the network, and that's what we're going to go ahead and do. We're going to go back to the machine now, and we'll go ahead and maximize that again. And you'll notice that it's actually going out there and it's looking for the network, and because the default settings on that, I believe, are DHCP. We should actually have a good solid connection. In fact, if we came in here, went to properties. Actually, if we just look up here, we should be able to now, let's just bring up a browser. Ask me later why I do it today, what I can do tomorrow. And we'll just see if CNN is happy enough to come up, which it is, which means we have good network compatibility capability on there. Now, you could set up a static IP. You could set this up for internal. I'm just going to go with the DHCP for now. That tends to work fairly well. In fact, it lets me get out if I need to download some stuff directly to this machine. I'm actually able to do that without having to jump back and forth to the host machine. So now that we got that set up, let's go back to our command prompt. I'm going to type DC promo. So that stands for domain controller promotion. What we want to do is promote this particular machine to be a domain controller. Now, in a normal install, you wouldn't do this all in one machine, but because we're doing this as kind of a test setup, that's perfectly fine for us to be able to do that. We're going to walk through the wizard. We're not going to use the advanced mode. It's going to give us a bunch of warnings about compatibility between 2008 R2 and blah, 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 blah. We're not worried about that. We're building a little island here that we just need a domain controller active to be able to do CRM. We're not joining an existing forest. We're going to, in fact, create a new domain in a new forest. We need to give it a fully qualified domain name. So we're going to use contoso.com because everybody knows and loves Contoso. So we've got that there. Go ahead and go next. So it's going to check to make sure that it's out there. Hopefully I don't have any that are conflicting. It is on network. Sometimes you run into things. This is, moved on. It didn't find any conflicts, so we're good. So this is now where it's going to set the functional level. Again, we're on an island. I don't really care about anybody that's still running 2003 because we're never going to interoperate with other things. So you can safely go ahead and choose Windows 2008 R2 level. Take full advantage of any of the Windows capabilities while you're using this and not be, kind of have your lead weight of a 2003 environment when you go through there. It's going to go through some additional options. You need to have the DNS enabled, so it'll be nice enough to do that for us, so we don't have to install that separately. It's giving us a warning because we have a dynamic address. Ideally for this, you want to give it a static IP address. There are ways, there's some caveats, especially if you have external things connecting into it that aren't good with a dynamic. But for our purposes right now, we just want to get the software installed. We can always change some of this later. So we're going to go ahead and... Okay. Sorry for that interruption. Had to handle a quick phone call. So we're back here. Meanwhile, we basically went ahead and dismissed that warning. We're now on to another warning. It's telling us that, we don't own Contoso.com. Oh, there's a surprise. So are we okay that it's not able to do everything? Again, we're running an island, so we really don't care as much here. So we're going to say, yes, we want to go ahead and continue. It's going to ask where we want to put the file. So again, we're setting up a developer environment. We're not too particular. We could argue best practices here, but for our purposes, the default location on these is just fine. Go ahead and hit next. You're going to give a password. I'm going to give password1. And we're going to go ahead and continue. You probably, if you were building a real environment, would give something much more secure than that. This is used in the event that you have to restore your environment and you have to have that password to recover your Active Directory. My developer environment, if it gets to that point, I'm going to throw it away and start over. We're now moving on. The final summary that we've got, we're using Contoso, we're setting up the functional levels, and we can go ahead and say next. It's going to go through a handful of processes to set this up, take about 5 minutes or so, and then come back after it finishes. Great news, our setup completed, so we now actually have a functioning Active Directory. Well, we will as soon as it asks us to reboot. If you do get errors here, then it's just standard domain troubleshooting, certainly beyond the scope of this video. But in most cases I've always seen in this type of environment, as long as you follow the steps we've been going through, you have pretty good luck here and this finishes. When it does finish, as you'll see after a number of these processes, we're going to go through a reboot, and we'll be back with you after that happens. Okay, so we're back from the reboot. I've gone ahead and logged in. I've actually gone ahead and copied the SQL Server installed to the local machine. Just to give you a kind of heads up if you're not familiar, because this machine's now on the network, I was able to just use normal networking, so DEAC, Office, VM, Host, $DDollar, and go to install files on, I'm actually using the local network on the host, right click copy, I came over to my downloads, I pasted that in, it took a minute or so to copy the gigabyte and a half file over. This particular one isn't an ISO, we'll deal with an ISO later, I'll show you how to mount that on the virtual machine, but we're gonna go ahead and just run the SQL install at this point. Actually, we've gotta decompress it first, so we'll go ahead and do that. Go ahead and pause while. Okay, so the extraction's been completed. And we're going to go ahead and start the setup. If you've installed SQL Server before, you can kind of skip forward a little bit. This is pretty straightforward SQL stuff that we're going to set up here. So we're going to do a new installation. So we're going to click on installation on the left, click on new installation, add features. It's going to go through a quick check of make sure that we have all the appropriate things. You know, if you have any errors, you'll need to resolve those. Sometimes, for example, if you have a pending install, you know, it'll make you reboot first. Go ahead and say OK. So we're going to use the eval in this case, so that'll give us the 180-day. It'll match the host VM. That's perfect for what we want to do. Gives us half a year to kind of kick the tires on this thing. Obviously, the beta will have gone to RTM before that even matters. But we'll talk about that a little bit because some of what we're doing here can actually you'll be able to leverage even once you get to the final bits. You know, I'll talk about a couple ways that you can kind of snapshot and save a progress checkpoint so you can restore back at any point. To move forward. So we'll go ahead and say next. Accept this if it makes sense or doesn't, and you still want to accept it anyway. We're going to go ahead and install the setup files. It's not like you have a choice. Obviously, I wish they'd just go ahead and do it because it's not like I have a choice to not do it. But we'll go ahead and let that happen. While it's doing that, there is one little thing that I wanted to do since we're installing on a domain controller. We're going to have to give it a user ID. So I'm actually going to come up here and type in dsa.msc. And what this is going to do is it's going to launch the domain users environments, so or MMC components, so that we can actually go add a user that SQL Server can run under. One of the reasons we're doing this is because we're on a domain controller. So we're going to just come down here to users, right click, new user. We'll call it SQL Server. Everybody knows SQL Server. And we'll call it SQL Server. And we'll give it, of course, the famous password pass @word1. We don't want the user to change their password in this case, the way we're working with it. We don't really need it to be changed, so we'll just go ahead and lock it down and make sure it never expires just so it's not messed with. Obviously, you could set whatever options you thought made sense. So we can close this now. We're done with that part. In the meantime, we can come over here and now launch the wizard. Somewhere we had the wizard. There it is. That was going through the process that we kind of escaped. It's going to tell us it's a warning because it's on the domain controller. We can just ignore that. We're okay with it being kind of an island. It'll give you a warning about the firewall because it's not going to allow external connections to connect in. We don't care about that as well either. Go ahead and do next. We want to do SQL feature installation. And pretty much the easiest thing you can do here is go ahead and install the whole soup to nuts. You don't really need replication, but it's also not going to hurt if you want to put it on there. We'll go ahead and keep some of the reporting services and then analysis. Obviously, you need reporting services. You don't necessarily need everything, but again, like I said, these aren't going to take up that much space. It's just not worth not having them around. You want to have the books online, so I tend to bring those on. We don't need the connectivity or the sync framework, so we can go ahead and pull that forward. And looks like we passed, so we're good to get going. We have to give it some default information. So as we go through this, so we're going to use the default instance name. That's not a problem. We're just going to have one CRM deployment on here. We don't have to use named instances. we're not setting this up for full-blown production, so we're not as concerned with location of data files. Obviously, if you wanted to have the super performing, Hyper-V, you could obviously, and you had the hardware, you could obviously separate out your data and some of your other piece log files and things like that and get a little bit better performance if you had those resources. We're going to use the same account for each of the services, so we're going to use the one we just created. Make sure we type that correctly. Next. Yes. Make sure we got that correct. Okay, so I think the deal is here is we actually used SQL Server. Some help you guys are all, everybody's watching, but nobody's helping me make sure I get the right information. So there, it's much happier. We'll go ahead and add in the current user. Windows authentication is fine. You could enable Mixed if you want to be able to connect to it from without. That's a little bit beyond some of the reasons you might want to do that. Again, this is where you'd set the data file locations and things like that. If you were particular, we're just going to go ahead and for now take the defaults on it. Again, now we're in reporting analysis services. We're going to configure the current user. We want to install this in the native default mode. CRM will take care of necessarily hookups and things like that. So we'll go ahead and let that go. And finally, we're good on that. So passes its configuration, and we'll let it go ahead and get started with the actual install of SQL Server. And we'll be back here in a second once this finishes its installation. Okay, so this is good news that we wanted to see. Our SQL Server installation is completed, so we can go ahead and hit close. We're done with installing SQL stuff now, so if you want, you can obviously clean this up so you don't need these install files anymore. They're just taking up space. You'll want to ultimately, once you've deleted all those, you'll just want to go and empty the waste basket and get rid of them anyway. Now's a good time to talk about snapshotting, since we've got a little bit of investment in building this machine. If something goes wrong, we don't want to have to start over. We want to be able to kind of recover. So let's go bring this back to normal size. Go back to Server Explorer on the host. Or server manager, I should say. We're going to go down to our virtual machine, we're going to right click on it, and we're going to click snapshot. Now what snapshot is doing is it's kind of taking a picture of our current server installation, and it's going to give us a save point that we can go back to. So if as later on as we get to installing CRM or SharePoint or something that we're putting on has a problem, we can just simply say apply and go back to that snapshot. We don't have to start all over. You'll see over here that it takes a few seconds to finish, depending on how long it's been since your last snapshot, so it gives you a progress. And once it finishes, you'll see a list down here in the snapshot area of all the snapshots that have been taken. And what you'll want to do is actually go in and we'll actually give this a more meaningful name. It just kind of timestamps it. But what we'll do is we'll actually come down here, click in here, and we'll say this is after SQL Server and domain setup. And so that's helpful because as we look back at this virtual later, we could decide whether we want to keep that checkpoint, we could delete it later, or we might want to go back to that. If we ever wanted to go back to it, we would just simply come in, right-click, and click Apply, and that would reset the machine, basically lose any changes you've already done, back to that point. But it's really helpful if you have any problems or you encounter errors in doing some of the future processing. Okay, so we're back on the new machine we're setting up, and our next thing we're going to do is get SharePoint going. So I'm going to go copy from my install files that I've downloaded, I'm going to copy the SharePoint install file. I could obviously, if I wanted to, download these onto the machine directly. I could reference it from there. I just happen to choose to keep these in a file. Obviously, I've done this a few times before. This isn't the first time I go through it, and I go through this, you know, fairly often building different machines, so I wanted to have those handy. So I've got that there. I'm going to go ahead and run it. As it gets going here, SharePoint Foundation, if you're not familiar, is the free version of SharePoint that's there. Has the core set of features. It doesn't have all the full-blown enterprise features. The first thing we're going to do in here is do the prerequisites install. So we'll go ahead and get that kicked off, and it's going to install a handful of patches, some different pieces, things like speech recognition and stuff that it has as part of that. We'll let it go ahead and get going with that. Okay, so we're back on the new machine we're setting up, and our next thing we're going to do is get SharePoint going. So I'm going to go copy from my install files that I've downloaded. I'm going to copy the SharePoint install file. I could obviously, if I wanted to, download these onto the machine directly. I could reference it from there. I just happen to choose to keep these in a file. Obviously, I've done this a few times before. This isn't the first time I go through it, and I go through this, you know, fairly often building different machines, so I wanted to have those handy. So I've got that there. I'm going to go ahead and run it. As it gets going here, SharePoint Foundation, if you're not familiar, is the free version of SharePoint that's there. Has the core set of features. It doesn't have all the full-blown enterprise features. The first thing we're going to do in here is do the prerequisites install. So we'll go ahead and get that kicked off, and it's going to install a handful of patches, some different pieces, things like speech recognition and stuff that it has as part of that. We'll let it go ahead and get going with that. Okay, we can see that the SharePoint Foundation 2010 prereqs have finished. There's a number of things that have been installed, several hot fixes, some core components like the chart controls, and other things that it relies on. And at this point, it's going to want us to go ahead and reboot, so we'll go ahead and let it do that, and we'll be back here shortly after it finishes. Okay, so here we are after the reboot. You'll see that it now comes up. It automatically starts the finish of the installation, tells you it's been completed. We'll go ahead and mark this finished, and at this point what we're going to want to do is go back essentially to our install files. And we're basically now going to go back into the install SharePoint Foundation. And so this will start the real laying out of the SharePoint. Remember that SharePoint is switched to kind of the install and then configure mode, so this part will just to kind of lay the bits down. It moves along pretty quickly. I am time-lapsing this a little bit, so it'll take a couple seconds when you run it. Okay, so when this does finally finish, you're basically going to be asked if you want to run the configuration wizard. So the process we just went through basically installs the software. Now we're going to run through the SharePoint configuration wizard, which will set up the basic configuration. You're going to want to do this before you run the CRM install. It'll set up the basic things that you'll need in place. So we're going to go ahead and leave that checked. Go ahead and click close. And we'll notice that this will launch us directly into the configuration wizard and get us started with the process. And you'll want to be kind of, you know, paying attention as you go through here. Make sure that you answer the questions in a meaningful way. Remember, we're doing this for a developer installation. So again, you'll want to look at some of the great SharePoint content that's out there on the web. If you're doing this in a more full-blown, production environment, you'll obviously want to be a little more rigorous with some of your settings and how you configure this as you go forward. So it's basically telling us that during the configuration it might restart some of our services. That's fine. We're just development box. Go right ahead. Restart them all you want. So it's asking us if we want to connect to a server farm, connect to an existing one, or create a new one. So we're going to create a new one. We don't have an existing one that we want to connect to. We want to create, remember, a standalone environment. So we're going to create a new one here. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and use our same local server. So we'll just say CRM, SharePoint config is fine, and we'll go ahead and reuse our account that we had set up for a SQL service. You obviously could set up a unique one for this if you wanted to, and you know, all kinds of things as you get into this, but we'll keep it simple. I think that's what we had here. Let's go check. Oh, that's right. I think we ended up calling this SQL server pass at word. There's the keyboard doing it again. Pass at word one. Okay, this is just a passphrase to secure the farm configuration. Again, we're keeping this simple, pass at word one. Okay, what we're doing here is setting up the central administration web application. So this is kind of administrator home workspace, if you will. What it's asking us is, do we want to have a specific port? So in this case, we're going to go ahead and say yes. Otherwise, it'll randomly generate it. So we don't want that randomly be generated. So we're going to go ahead and check this to specify a port. And we'll do 7777 for now. We'll want to make sure this doesn't conflict with anything we might do for the CRM. Since we're doing this all on the same server, not having separate IP addresses for each, we'll just go ahead and leave this at 7777 for now. We're also going to go ahead and take the default here, that the NTLM, since we're not really concerned with a lot of interoperability outside of the box, we're worried about building a good inbox experience for a developer. This is just basically confirming, so it's telling us we're going to set it up on CRM and go through the various things. We'll go ahead and let it get started with that. As it goes through some of this, you'll see some steps take a little bit longer. Step 3, for example, task 3, I should say, does take a little while. Once you get out of that, it starts moving along pretty quickly. As you can see, we're kind of in the final stages here where it's doing step 10 of 10. And that moves along pretty quickly. Again, a lot of this I recommend just setting aside and letting run in the background. So there we have it. We finished our configuration. So that's all been set up. And you know, at this point, we're going to go ahead and finish, exit out of this. It's actually going to launch the administration for the first time. You want to see this all come up good. After this completes, we're going to want to go take another snapshot. This will be kind of another good checkpoint along the way in the process of you know, doing our server setup, both for long-term being able to go back to, as well as if we have any issues being able to get that. Okay, so we've gone ahead and finished the SharePoint install. I went ahead and took a snapshot just because I want a nice safe place that I can go back to. Never want to get too far out and ahead of yourself in case you have a problem, misconfigure something. It's very easy to go back and apply one of these snapshots. So we're going to go ahead and connect back up. And we'll see that it's kind of launching into the wizard. At this point, I'm going to say that I want to go ahead and configure everything myself, because what it'll do if I go through the wizard is it'll actually go create a application on port 80. It'll conflict with CRM, and I'll kind of end up back here in the same place anyway, so I might as well do this from scratch to start with. So what we're going to do is go in and go to manage web applications. We're going to go ahead and see our administration one that's listed at 777. We'll go ahead and create a new one. This one's going to be a website that we'll use to host our site collection for data that we store from CRM. We're going to go ahead and use classic mode authentication. I notice it's trying to default us to 80 again. Oops, let's get back there. We want to go ahead and change that. So in this case, I'm going to use 7778. I want that to, we're going to use port 80 for the CRM application. Pretty much everything else on here, you can just go ahead and leave as it is, and that should all be fine for what we're going to be doing now. Go ahead and click OK. Let that go ahead and create the web application. Now that our application has been created, we can go ahead and say OK. We're going to go back. We'll see this listed on here. Let's go back to the central administration. One of the other options on here is to create a site collection. So we're going to go ahead and create a site collection. We'll be able to reference our web application that we created is where we want to host this. Let's call this CRM data. Just make this document workspace for now. Mount that at the root of there. We need a administrator, so we'll just go ahead and use our account that we have here. Secondary is optional. We're not going to specify that. We'll go ahead and say OK to create. Okay, creation's been completed. And let's see if things work. If anything works, we should be able to now go to this and be able to view our default content for that site collection. Okay, let's try that again. We are running this under not the administrator account. If you remember, we did Contoso SQL Server. Okay, and there it looks like everything is good to go there. So now that kind of, we've got the base SharePoint laid out. We may do some tweaks with it later. We'll come back and deal with some of the SharePoint components and things later on, possibly in other videos as we get going forward. I want to get you the basic CRM stuff running. So at this point, let's see, we've done Windows, we've done the domain, we've done SQL, we've done SharePoint. It's time to go ahead, you know, probably a good point to take another snapshot. In case we have problems, but we should at this point go ahead and move on to CRM. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start the install process now. We've got our server all set up. We've got the domain controller set up on it. We've got the SQL server. We've got SharePoint. So now we're ready to move on to the CRM server part. I've already downloaded this, so the first thing this is going to do is go ahead and expand this out. So we'll go ahead and let it expand this out into the downloads here. We don't need to create a separate folder because we're just going to delete it when we're done with it anyway, as we won't need to keep it on the server. We'll want to conserve as much space on the server as possible. Once it's done extracting, then we can kind of go into the server and we'll just go ahead and run the setup server. Always good idea to let it go ahead and get updates. There shouldn't be any at this point since we just kind of got the install files out there. But you never know, if you're looking at this later on, it's a good idea to do that because there might have been some updates that have been published and you don't want to have to go back and deal with those afterwards if you don't have to. It's nice to get all those as you go on. It's going to ask you for some product keys. What you can do is actually go to the README file. So the README file for the server, you can get that from the download links that I'll have on the blog post that accompanies this. For what you'll be able to do in there is just kind of scroll down. What we're looking for is these keys. Really, there's no reason not to use, you know, I should say there's no reason not to use the CRM server key here versus the workgroup. Workgroup's going to limit you to 5 cals. We're going to, you know, just kind of go ahead and keep this as a development server. So we're going to go ahead and set that up with that key. So you just go ahead and paste that in. It'll come up and say it's verified. If you agree to the license agreement, of course, go ahead and accept and move on. It's going to install some prereqs, so it's going to install the .NET framework if it's not already installed. It's going to set up the Azure App Fabric SDK, the reporting services, and the SQL Native client. So we're going to go ahead and let that do that processing for us. Okay, so we finished the install of the framework, but we're going to take a little detour here for a reboot before we continue on. So let's go ahead and get that underway. And we'll be back in a little bit. Okay, we're back here after the reboot. We're going to go ahead and restart the setup and let it go through its other prereqs. Things will be in a little bit better shape now that we've got the framework and got the reboot out of the way. Put on our license key again, that you can find that in the README. Move on to our other prereqs. These should move along pretty quickly now. Okay, we're all good there with our prereqs. We can go ahead and move on. And go ahead and take the default install directory. Now this is where it can get a little interesting. You could separate out these in a more complex installation. Obviously, you could do things like have a web front end, have your asynchronous services, your sandbox processing on its own. You can even decide whether you want to do things with the deployment service. Again, we're setting up a developer box. We want the works. We want it all in this box. So we're just going to go ahead and say next here. Now it wants to know where our SQL server is. So do we want to connect to an existing deployment? So this would be if you already had one set up. In our case, we're going to have a new deployment. So we're going to go ahead and type in CRM, because that's the name of our SQL server. We're going to make sure that create a new deployment is selected. We're going to go into organizational unit. Now we could go create a OU container specifically for this. Typically that's probably one of the better practices. We're going to go ahead and just go ahead and let things default into Contoso. We're not really into the Active Directory aspects of this. We just want this to be a functional developer box. Now this is where also you could make some decisions. You could go down the path of having a domain account. The nice thing about that is you can go back and make sure it has as little access as possible. You do have to set it up, add it to the the computer user group, and you will have to make sure it has entitlements as you go along. The implementation guide that you can download has some great docs on that. We're going to go ahead for purposes of our discussion here today is go ahead and use the network service account. It's already pre-set up. We don't have to go set something up before we move ahead. We'll just go ahead and keep going with that. We could choose to create a new website. We're going to go ahead and let it use the default website, kind of take that over. We want this to be hosted at port 80. That was the whole reason. We remember before when we set up SharePoint that we made sure to get SharePoint out of the way and selected a different location for that. We're not going to set up the email router URL or server name. And particularly why we're not going to do that is this is a developer box. We're probably going to create emails. And the last thing we want to do is have those emails actually going out on the net without knowing about it. If you want email, you can always come back into the configuration settings, get that configured in there. But for our purposes, we tend to think that email router is a bad thing on a developer box. Okay, here's where you're setting up the first organization when it goes through the install. It's going to set up a default organization. So we're going to use Contoso 1, of course. That's what every CRM installation that you set up on a developer box should have. We're going to go ahead and set that up, take the defaults. This is where you'd be able to change the currency. If we wanted to use different symbols, you could use one that, if you were setting up, EU currency, this is where you would go in and change that. You could come in and pick whatever was appropriate here. We're going to, again, take the USD, the default US currency for now and move forward. It wants to know where our reporting server is. So we're going to be CRM report server. Yes, we're willing to participate in the feedback. You can turn that off if you don't want to. Yes, we want it to check for updates when they're available. And it's going to go through a check here. And at this point, we're hoping for an all clear. If everything's good, then we're good to move ahead with setting up and configuring our CRM server. SQL Server sometimes takes a little bit. That's one of the longer ones to go through. They've gotten, fortunately, rid of notice on there. There's not a check to see if the SQL Server agent is running. That one used to always drive me nuts, like if I was creating a new organization, that always used to not be started for some reason on my developer box. I'd always have to take time to go back, start it, and restart this. That's not doing it anymore. Okay, it looks like we got the all clear, so let's go ahead and hit next. It's going to give us a confirmation screen. It's going to tell us first that all these different services could be restarted. Not a problem. Go ahead, restart everything you need to. Summary of what we're going to do. You might want to just double check this, make sure it all looks okay. If everything looks okay on there, then you can basically move ahead. And get the install process going. Now this will take a few minutes to go through, so we're not going to sit here and watch the whole thing. What it's doing is it's going to go set up a config database, it's going to go set up the organization, lay out the software, go through and deploy all the initial stuff that you would normally have in an organization to get started. So we're going to go ahead and let that cook for a while, and we'll be back in a minute as it finishes the provisioning. Okay, this is good news. This is what we want to see, is that the setup completed successfully. A key thing here, very simple, is that you can very quickly here just click the finish button and think you're done and ready to go on testing things out. You'll see down here this launch SRS reporting extensions. This is a key thing. If you don't have this on, you won't get reporting to work well. You also won't be able to create a new organization. You'll very quickly realize that you need to come back and deal with installing this. The first time you go to create your second organization, and it tells you that it can't until this has been installed. So you're going to go ahead and launch the reporting extensions. If we had separated SQL out on another box, then you would need to run that on the SQL box. In this case, we're all on the same one, so that's the reason we can go ahead and do that all in one place. No updates were found for it, so we're going to go ahead and let it go through its wizard process. If you agree to the terms, go ahead and accept it. It's going to ask for your SQL Server. As long as you're running in the same place, everything should be good there. It's going to want to know which instance to install it on. And it's going to give you this horrendous warning, basically telling you we don't recommend installing this. However, if you don't do it, then we're not going to run. It's kind of a catch-22 on there. You go ahead and check that and do next. It'll go through an environment check, and then you let it go about installing the extensions. In the course of doing this, you are going to see it kind of go through and republish all the reports, so you'll notice that all happening as it goes through this. And once it finishes, again, you're looking here for a successful completion. In any case that you get an error, something does fail on either this or the prior setup, the log file is a good source. That's going to be what you're going to need to get the error information to report the problem if you have one. So don't rush too quickly to hit the finish button again, because if you have to go find that log, it's easier to get it from this link than it is to dig through the folder structure and find it otherwise. All right, so now we kind of are at the moment of truth. You may find at times it asks to reboot after that initial setup. Other times it seems to be clear, so it just kind of depends on where some of the prereqs are and things like that. And this is what we want to see. We want to see our new instance come up. That means that things are looking good. that we got the basic stuff set up. And that pretty much wraps up our basic installation process. So what we've done here, just to kind of recap, is we set up our Windows Server by starting with the test drive VHD. We then installed that, or got in, renamed the server, set up a domain controller on it. We went and installed SQL Server. We went and installed SharePoint. We then went and installed CRM. We'll talk about configuring SharePoint a little bit later, but we wanted to get the basics on there. We've now have a fully functional server. The only other thing that we haven't done, I think every one of you have gone through already, that would be put Visual Studio on here. That's a pretty straightforward process. And then we're doing that so we have a nice self-contained environment that's all together. Now, obviously, the other thing you might want to do is go create some other organization through Deployment Manager. But at this point, you've got the basics set up and you're ready to go. Thanks for watching.